My name is Abraham. I was born in 2137 BC in Ur of the Chaldeans. But I lived the majority of my life in Canaan. Today I want to praise the Lord for his kindness and goodness and grace to me. And I want to share my joy with you. And here is why I am so thankful. I know where I stand with God. I know where I stand with God in this life. I stand blessed by God. Now, that doesn't mean that I have no heartaches or trials. Neither does it mean that I never fail God. But nevertheless, I stand blessed by God in this life. I also know where I stand with God for eternity. I know that when I step out of this life, I will step into the paradise of God, accepted by God and blessed by God forever. Yes, I know where I stand with God now and forever. I have no doubts. I have no uncertainties. I am now and always will be blessed by God. Abraham, how can you be so sure? How can you be so confident that God will always bless you? And Abraham would answer, because God promised me that he would. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, God makes many promises to Abraham here. I just want us to focus in on one of them. His four words found in verse 2, where God says to Abraham, I will bless you. Go to the land that I will show you, and I will bless you. So Abraham went to Canaan, and God kept his promise. Yes, if you know the story of his life, Abraham endured many trials and heartaches in Canaan. Yes, Abraham failed the Lord from time to time in Canaan. But God promised him that he would bless him there, and bless him there he did. God actually worked all things together for good for Abraham in the land of Canaan. Well, let's go to Moriah. Genesis chapter 22. Abraham has just passed the test regarding offering Isaac on the altar. Let's pick up the thought in Genesis 22, verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Now, again, we're not going to talk about all of God's promises here. We're just going to focus on two phrases. In verse 16, God declares, "By myself I have sworn." And in verse 17, God so swears to Abraham, "I will surely bless you." So, in Genesis 12, God promises Abraham he will bless him. In Genesis 22, God swears to Abraham that he will bless him. No wonder Abraham could say, "I know where I stand with God. I know he will bless me in this life. I know he will bless me for all eternity. I go to bed every night confident that God will watch over me. I arise every morning confident that God will guide me and protect me. I know that God will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that when my life on earth is over, I will be accepted and blessed in the paradise of God. I have the security of all securities." God has not only promised to bless me, he has sworn that he would. Yes, I know. I really know where I stand with God. Blessed now and blessed forever. Wow, how privileged Abraham was. What security he had. What a way to live. What a way to die. No wonder Abraham would say to us, "Praise the Lord." Well, I have a question. Where do we stand with God? What kind of security do we have? How does our security compare with Abraham's security? Well, let me share some Bible truths with you. Let's turn to the New Testament, all the way to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul, the human writer, is talking about faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And in Galatians 2, verse 16, he says, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified." Faith in Christ, belief in Christ, being justified by faith. What a clear verse. We're justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law. Galatians 3, verse 7. "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Faith in Jesus Christ makes us the sons of Abraham. You know, the Bible calls Abraham the father of faith. Those then whose faith is in Christ are Abraham's sons, Abraham's offspring, Abraham's seed. Now, that's not talking about Abraham's physical seed. That's another subject, another big subject, another important subject. But that's another subject for another day. This is talking about Abraham's spiritual seed. This is talking about those whose faith is in Jesus Christ. If you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, you are Abraham's spiritual seed, Abraham's spiritual son, Abraham's spiritual offspring. Well, that's nice to know, isn't it? Nice to know that when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I became Abraham's offspring. But what does that mean for me? What value is there in being Abraham's offspring? What value? Read Galatians 3:29, the last verse in the chapter. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Heirs according to promise. What God promised to Abraham and then swore to Abraham did not end with Abraham. It was passed on to his offspring, to his heirs. It is just as valid for Abraham's seed today as it was for Abraham. We ask the question, how does our security compare with Abraham's security? It's the same security. It's the very same thing. It's the very same promise of blessing. I will bless you. It's the very same sworn oath by God. I swear I will bless you. When we trusted in Christ, we became Abraham's spiritual seed, and thus we inherited what God swore to Abraham. Can that really be? Well, God said so. And I want you to see how God applies that to us. Hebrews chapter 6. Would you please turn there? Hebrews chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So, when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unconditional character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. Who does God want to know where they stand with him? Verse 17 says, the heirs of the promise. Hey, that's me. That's you, if you know Christ as Savior. If you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God wants something that wants these heirs of the promise to know where they stand with God. How does he help us to know where we stand with him? By two immutable, that's some of the versions we have. Our version here, the English Standard Version, says by two unchangeable. If something's immutable, you can't change it. If it's unchangeable, it's immutable. They're synonymous. God wants the heirs of the promise, those who've received Christ. God wants them to know where they stand with him, and here's how he helps them. By two unchangeable promises. First of all, his promise to bless us. That's what he promised Abraham, and we're the heirs of that. I will bless you. And then later on, just to make it all the more sure, God says, I swear I will bless you. Now, God does not promise us a life free from trials or heartaches, does he? God does not promise us we'll never fail him. But he does promise and swear that he will bless us. Now, in this life, and for all eternity. So we too can go to bed every night confident that God will watch over us. We too can arise every morning confident that God will guide us and protect us. We too can know that God will never leave us or forsake us. We too can know that God will work together for good all the ingredients of our lives. We too can know that when our life is over here on earth, we will be accepted and blessed in God's presence forever. We too have the security of all securities, for God has not only promised to bless us, he has sworn that he will do so. All because God's promise to bless Abraham and God's oath to bless Abraham, they're inherited by Abraham's seed. And those who are in Christ are Abraham's seed. Several months ago, the pastor had other plans for today, but he asked me if I would preach the word today. I promised him I would do so. Let me ask you, is there anything that could keep me from keeping that promise? Sure. Illness? Accident on the way? Laryngitis? All kinds of things could keep me from keeping my promise. But is there anything that can keep God from keeping his promise? Here's his answer. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, anywhere, anytime can keep God from keeping his promise to bless the heirs of the promise, believers in Christ. Oh, but wait. No external promise, excuse me, no external power can keep God from blessing us. But what about this? What about if God would change his own mind to bless us? The Old Testament tells us this: there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. The New Testament says the same thing. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We sin. We all sin. All too often. What if God would get tired of our sinning and run out of patience with us? What if he would change his mind about blessing us? Could that happen? And the answer is no. 1,000 times no. God will never change his mind about blessing the heirs of the promise. How do I know that? Because God has sworn that he will bless us. He knows everything about us in advance. He knows of every possibility, every contingency, every failure on our part, every sin that we will ever commit. And knowing all that, he has still sworn to pour out his blessing upon us. For how long? Well, he will bless us in this life. He will bless us when we step out of this life and into his presence. And in the ages to come, he will be showing us and showering upon us the immeasurable riches of his grace toward us in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And if you can take that in, you've got quite a mind. I tell you, God wants us to know where we stand with him. He wants us to be confident of where we stand with him now and forever. Would you like triple security? God's unchangeable promise to bless us is our security. God's sworn oath to bless us is our double security. Would you like triple security? Here it is. The verse we left off in the end of Hebrews, Hebrews 6, verse 20, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ has gone before us to heaven. He is the forerunner who guarantees our following him there. And what is Jesus Christ doing in heaven? Well, he's doing many things. But among them is this. Let me read it again. Where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. Or as some translations simply say, for us. Jesus Christ is today doing something in heaven on our behalf. What is he doing? Well, the verse goes on to speak of his priestly ministry. High priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's what he's doing there. Jesus Christ today is functioning in heaven as a priest for us, on our behalf. What do priests do? He's interceding. Jesus Christ is today, right now, interceding on our behalf as our high priest. You know, when we asked Jesus Christ to be our Savior, Jesus Christ interceded for us. He is able also to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He interceded for us when we asked him to be our Savior. He continues to intercede for us when we as Christians sin. He didn't just intercede for us once, and that's it for all eternity. He continues to intercede for us when we sin. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." He interceded for us when we were first saved. He continues to intercede for us throughout our lives when we as Christians sin. He is interceding for us. And of course, all of his intercession back when we were first saved and throughout our lives, all of that intercession is based upon the fact that he died for us. He shed his blood for us. And when he intercedes for us, he intercedes on the basis of the fact that he died for all of our sin. That's what saved us in the first place, and that's what keeps us saved throughout life. So, here is our triple security. Number one, God's promise. God's unchangeable, ironclad promise, "I will bless you." Number two, God's sworn oath, "I swear I will bless you." Number three, Christ's continuing intercession on our behalf. Tell you what. The next time you buy an appliance, take a look at the warranty. And then show it to the salesman. And say to the salesman, "This warranty that you have given me is fine. But I just like to be sure. Would you ask the manufacturer to give me two more warranties? I want the second warranty to be etched in stone. I want the third warranty to be written in blood, his blood." What do you suppose the salesman would say? He probably wouldn't tell you what he was thinking. But he would say something like this: "The warranty you have is all I can give you. Nobody, but nobody, gives more warranty than that." "Oh, really? God does. I will bless you." That's his warranty. An unchangeable guarantee, an unchangeable promise. "I will bless you." Not enough for you? "I swear I will bless you." That's better than being etched in stone. And then Christ's lifelong intercession on our behalf. Lifelong, our lifelong, his lifelong intercession for us. Based upon what? His shed blood. triple security. What's your response? What's my response? Thank you, O God, for the triple security you have given to the heirs of the promise. You gave it to Abraham, but it didn't die with him. It goes on to the heirs of the promise, to his spiritual seed, and that's what we are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for making sure that we can know for sure where we stand with you. And with that kind of security, do we not pledge to God to run the race before us with perseverance, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Amen? Amen. Would you put the closing hymn up on the wall? It's, as you can imagine, not a hymn that says, I hope everything's all right. But if I have God's promise, God's oath, and Christ's intercession, I know whom I have believed. I have confidence. I have the assurance that God will bless.